Ladies and gentlemen, the following segment of the podcast is presented exclusively by Hillsdale College. Now, in its 175th year, Hillsdale is a truly independent institution where learning is prized and intellectual enthusiasm is valued. Thank you for listening, and my sincere appreciation to Hillsdale for their sponsorship.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Number 877-381-3811, 877-381-3811. Everywhere he goes, Joe Biden touts Obamacare. Joe Biden and the left and the Democrat Party want you to believe that without Obamacare, you'll die. Without Obamacare, you can't get coverage. Without Obamacare, pre-existing conditions won't be covered. They're liars. What did we do before Obamacare? We had a much more robust insurance system with a lot more choices. Well, there's a person by the name of Christopher Briggs who decided to write a short article in the New York Post about his kids' cancer and their experience with Obamacare. I've been listening to Joe Biden today. It gives me a headache because he's always yelling at the top of his lungs. And he keeps holding up Obamacare as the gold standard. And Briggs writes, before Obamacare went into effect, the private market offered us a wide range of relatively inexpensive plans. Joe Biden has been running on an ad in which he says he can't imagine what it would be like to have a child with cancer and no health coverage. I don't have to imagine. Under the health reform championed by Biden when he served as President Barack Obama's vice president, I live that reality every day. Twice over the past 3 years, Obamacare has had no plans to sell us that covers little girls ravaged by cancer recovering from that ordeal, and it might leave us floundering again. In November 2015, my wife got the most dreadful call a parent can get. The doctor knew why our daughter Colette, then 2.5 years old, hadn't been feeling well. Blood work had revealed leukemia. Thanks to Obamacare, we were already in financial straits. In 2014, the law had eliminated a great plan we had had for years. Before Obamacare went into effect, the private marketplace offered us a wide menu of relatively inexpensive plans that covered specialist care, even out of state. Afterward, all that was left were increasingly costly plans with fewer benefits. Premiums swelled. In 2017, I took my family into the Obamacare marketplace to escape at least the crushing premiums. But things were about to get much worse than expensive. In mid 2017, President Trump merely suggested scrapping massive Obamacare subsidies to insurance giants that only delivered lousy care at ever greater cost. So what did they do in response? Every insurer in Northern Virginia with a family plan pulled out for the following year. That is, except one, but Cigna Connect. They wouldn't cover Colette at Inova Fairfax Hospital. the one hospital in the region with a pediatric cancer ward. Under Obamacare, our daughter was effectively without coverage for cancer. Panicked, we called the politicians, the media, and Cigna. We retained an attorney. Nothing changed. No full policy coverage from Cigna. Without options, I shut down part of my consulting business and started work at a friend's organization for its group insurance and got saddled with monthly premiums far in excess of what we could afford. Thanks to the publicity and some strong-arming, Cigna agreed to cover the hospital, but it was too late for us. Then for 2020, we purchased a better plan from Anthem, newly returned to the Obamacare marketplace. We thought we might be done with insurance crises. Warner had helped him, by the way. How naive. In mid-March, with the novel coronavirus sweeping the country, Colette's cancer, doctors told us Anthem had decided that in 2 weeks, it would no longer cover her clinic. Once again, thanks to Obamacare, we were left without coverage for our daughter recovering from cancer. Perhaps the marketplace would grant us a waiver to buy the Cigna plan still for sale in our zip code? Nope. So like in 2017, we were forced to turn to Warner to bully Anthem to cover the clinic, at least through April 1, 2021. After that, who knows? Open enrollment for next year starts November 1. I get beg senators at Warner to gear up for another round of veiled threats to a private company to force one to cover us. Perhaps President Trump could issue an executive order prohibiting the insurance companies from pulling out of the market mid-year, leaving children stranded. But none of these is the right long-term answer. We must repeal Obamacare and put into the hands of Americans real, automatically renewable insurance products curated to individual needs. Too many Colettes will suffer and possibly die, waiting for the personal carve-outs only a few of us can ever get away with. To solve the inherent instability of Obamacare, the state could just take over all medical facilities. It's called single payer. But then we would all be at the mercy of the same government bureaucracy that has been working for years to slowly kill my daughter. That has taught us a lesson. Turns out there is a nightmare worse than ones watching cancer brutalize one's little girl. It's having Obama's law, which his vice president rightly claims as his own, collude with the disease against her. Mr. Biden, you might try imagining what that feels like. He can't get coverage because of Obamacare for his daughter. And before there was Obamacare, there were multiple policies that indeed covered her. Now, that's a story that this gentleman wrote a few days back in the New York Post, the fourth largest newspaper in America. And it's utterly ignored. It's certainly ignored by Biden, who keeps going out there trying to convince you that Obamacare is some kind of a gold standard, when in fact, it's a crap standard. It's enormously expensive because of all the levels and significant salaries you're paying to bureaucrats and bureaucracies. And they keep saying, Trump, what's your plan? Well, here's my plan. Allow insurance companies and allow new insurance companies to offer whatever they want. Cover pre-existing needs as a condition of societal demand. But beyond that, offer whatever plan you choose. Because Colette would be covered. People with heart disease would be covered. And you can always have government intervention for that small percentage who can't get care. But for the vast majority of Americans, they don't need Obamacare. Obamacare, for many people, is a killer. Joe Biden's proud of Obamacare. The media will not explain what Obamacare is to most people. I remember when my kids lived in California. They had one plan, Blue Cross Blue Shield. That was it. And if you had a particular disease or illness, that fell outside their plan, he'd have to fight like this gentleman did for his daughter. It's not covered. It's not covered. If you have multiple plans, 10, 20, 30, 50 plans, by God, most of them will cover something that Obamacare will not. I have a dear friend right now who needs a heart transplant. Well, grew up with this wonderful, wonderful fella, like a brother. No, he is a brother. We grew up together. He lost his mother at a very young age, and really my parents took him under their wing, and he was my best friend, still is among my best friends. He needs a heart transplant. It's not covered by his Obamacare insurance. And so they're hoping, come January, I think it is, I may have my date wrong, that they can find another plan somewhere, somehow, to cover it. Obamacare does not cover it. So all this talk about Obamacare is another failed government program. That's what it is. And the Democrats want you to believe they have another program up their sleeve. More government, more bureaucracy, more taxes, more expense. And they'll tell you, oh, but it's free. It'll cost you less. You'll get to keep your doctors. How many more times are you going to let them lie to you? But that's where Joe Biden is. That's his plan. Destroy Medicare by lowering the age to 60, allowing illegal immigrants into Medicare, using it as a public option for anybody who chooses. Of course they're going to choose Medicare. And so you're going to have government-run health care through the back door. All the private insurance plans will collapse. And all you people on Medicare today, you'll just be another person on government-run health care, despite the fact you've paid your entire life into that plan. You know who's not paying into that plan? Joe Biden. I want to emphasize this on the Friday before Tuesday's election. Because again, I watched Joe Biden today attacking the president on his taxes, lying that he only paid $750 on taxes. In that New York Times piece, late into the article, deep into the article, it tells you he paid an alternative minimum tax of over $24 million. That's not $750. That's $24 million. But let me tell you what Joe Biden and Dr. Biden did in the last few years. Thanks to this Christopher Jacobs, who's been banging the pots and pans, hoping somebody will listen. Since the vice president left government service in early 2017, the Bidens funneled their income from book royalties and speaking fees through two S corporations, Celtic Capri Corporation and Giacoppa Corporation. They paid themselves modest salaries through the corporations, of which they paid full Social Security and Medicare taxes. So they paid full Social Security and Medicare taxes on the modest salaries they paid to themselves. The Bidens took most of this book and speech income, over $13.5 million, not as wages, that is not a salary, but as profits from the two corporations. Taking that income as corporate profits rather than as salary allowed them to avoid paying payroll taxes on the $13.5 million. The 2.9% Medicare tax applies to all income. You have a 0.9% high income tax created by Section 9015 of Obamacare, applies to all wage income over $200,000 for an individual, $250,000 for a family. But taking their income as corporate profits rather than income personal salary allowed the Bidens to avoid paying this combined 3.8% payroll tax on more than $13.5 million in income they received from 2017 through 2019. So they avoid paying Medicare and Obamacare taxes over that period of time, totaling $513,540, over $500,000. Biden's out there talking about how Trump wants to destroy Medicare and Social Security and how Obamacare is so magnificent. He didn't pay into Medicare, and he didn't pay into Obamacare. And I want you to know that. And the media are not covering this. And nobody brings this up on broadcast radio but me, and broadcast television but me. This isn't a put-down of anybody. It's just very troubling to me. I get emails all day long, texts all day long. Hey, did you see what happened to this group? Hey, did you see what Twitter did to that group? I am on air 5 hours, 5 hours, and 40 more minutes before the election. And I'm supposed to run down rabbit holes or bring up something that's happening in some distant country, when the goal here is to make it crystal clear the stark differences between Biden and Trump and get as many people out to vote as possible. This should trouble you greatly, that Biden talks about Obamacare, that Obamacare is a disaster for millions of Americans, that he doesn't even pay his taxes into Obamacare, nothing, and that he says pre-existing conditions won't be covered otherwise, when every state in the union, or virtually every state in the union, required pre-existing conditions to be covered by the insurance companies that they licensed. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Hillsdale College serves four purposes: learning, character, faith, and freedom. Education and faith thrive in freedom, and freedom requires educated people and people of good character to preserve it. Hillsdale College has been providing the education needed to preserve free government for over 175 years, not only to its 1,500 undergraduate and graduate students, but nationwide through its free online courses and through its support of classical K-12 charter schools. Hillsdale's Articles of Association, dating way back to 1844, commit to preserving the blessings of civil and religious liberty through the provision of sound learning. The learning includes the Constitution. It includes the laws of nature and nature's God as described in the Declaration of Independence. Hillsdale's motto is pursuing truth and defending liberty since 1844, and it will continue to fight to live up to that motto, come what may. Learn more at levinforhillsdale.com. L-E-V-I-N for Hillsdale.com. LevinForHillsdale.com.
Millions of people lost their health care under Obamacare, and millions of people had their premiums and deductibles go sky high. And Biden's at it again, lying through his teeth. Here he is yesterday in Tampa, Florida. Cut 9, go.
Donald Trump thinks health care is a privilege. I think it's your right. If we all get out and vote, we'll not only restore Obamacare, we'll strengthen and build on it. So you can keep your private insurance if you like it. And you can choose a Medicare-like option if you don't.
So, see, this is what I'm saying. We heard this before. He's a liar. They will say anything to get elected. They will say anything to steal your private insurance. They have made a mess of insurance. There really is no so-called private insurance anymore. The government controls everything. Obamacare is a disaster. It's enormously expensive to administer. It doesn't cover a lot of the needs that people have. There's almost no choices in a significant number of states. The premiums are through the roof. The deductibles are through the roof. And no, you can't choose your own doctor. And now you're starting to see rationing. It's getting longer and longer period of time to see a specialist, isn't it? It's only going to get worse. So their answer, more government. It's always their answer. They're never circumspect. They never say, you know, maybe we ought to rethink this. No. More government. And they're going to destroy Medicare, too. I'll be right back.
Hillsdale College serves four purposes: learning, character, faith, and freedom. Education and faith thrive in freedom, and freedom requires educated people and people of good character to preserve it. Hillsdale College has been providing the education needed to preserve free government for over 175 years, not only to its 1,500 undergraduate and graduate students, but nationwide through its free online courses and through its support of classical K-12 charter schools. Hillsdale's Articles of Association, dating way back to 1844, commit to preserving the blessings of civil and religious liberty through the provision of sound learning. The learning includes the Constitution. It includes the laws of nature and nature's God as described in the Declaration of Independence. Hillsdale's motto is pursuing truth and defending liberty since 1844, and it will continue to fight to live up to that motto, come what may. Learn more at levinforhillsdale.com. L-E-V-I-N for Hillsdale.com. LevinForHillsdale.com.
Nobody says it better than Mark Levin.
I'll go with what Mark Levin said, because nobody could say it better.
Call in now at 877-381-3811.
You know, think about Biden. Early in his career, he was tied to Southern racists and segregationists, proudly so. And that's for many years. Then he was a law and order guy who sponsored the 1994 crime bill with extremely high sentencing for people who were using crack and marijuana and so forth. His running mate, Kamala Harris, was infamous as DA and Attorney General in California for prosecuting those crimes, people with marijuana, and prosecuting mostly blacks. She doesn't talk about that. It took the vice president to bring that up. And so they like to paint Donald Trump as some kind of racist. They have nothing they can point to, so they concoct this Charlottesville nonsense. And I'm not going to go through it again, where they try and claim that he supported the Klan and the neo-Nazis. It is a smear campaign. It is disgusting. When in fact, the Democrat Party is the party of the Klan and always has been. And Joe Biden was a little late to reject all that. I don't mean the Klan. I mean the segregationist language. I don't know. I was never a friend with a racist or a segregationist. Were you, Mr. Producer? So he gets a pass. Then he runs for president in 1988. He runs 10 years later. He runs as a moderate. Now he needs the nomination. He moves hard left. He wants to ban fracking and fossil fuels. He wants to destroy what's left of Medicare. They want open borders. Illegal aliens should get free health care. Imagine what that's going to do to health care, your doctor's office, the ability to get operations on a timely basis. It'll utterly and completely destroy our society. Everyone knows that. Everybody. There's not enough money in this country to pay for the world to come into this country and get free cardiology care or neurosurgery. Or you name it. It's ridiculous. But that's what they're talking about. They want to eliminate any ability for poor kids in the inner cities to have school options. It's right in their platform, the 110-page manifesto, because they need to pay off the teachers' unions. And they're going to shut down assembly lines. They're going to shut down American corporations. They're going to use, well, we... 100% no carbon dioxide, zero carbon dioxide, which is impossible. Lest we all commit suicide. I mean, we breathe out carbon dioxide. These are their plans. And so he gets the nomination, and then he tries to create more confusion. And this is basically the Biden career. I'm not a socialist. Look at me. I haven't been a socialist in my life. As he screams at the top of his lungs like a man who's drunk almost, slurring his words, mangling his language.
I'm not a socialist. I've never been a socialist. Look at me. I won this election. I'm not Bernie Sanders.
And yet their 110-page manifesto is all Bernie Sanders. That's all Bernie Sanders. And you keep seeing articles like this. This was in the Daily Beast, which is a left-wing rag, but nonetheless. Progressives ready to push Biden leftward immediately. Elected leftists and leftists throughout academia and leftists throughout these special interest groups and ethnic groups and so forth have been plotting now for months. They're going to push Biden, hard Marxist left. Biden likely will go hard Marxist left, but if he doesn't go, they intend to destroy him. And they will be the ones who use the 25th Amendment and do whatever they can, because Kamala Harris is, if anything, she'll walk over broken glass to become president of the United States to get more power. I think that's what Willie Brown was trying to tell people. She's power hungry. The word on the street is it's definitely going to start immediately, the progressive push, a former senior advisor to Senator Bernie Sanders said in an interview. Most people are putting on the good face to vote Trump out. But make no mistake, the current power structure on the Democrat side should take no comfort that the main reason why Biden may be elected president of the United States of America is mostly anti-Trump. And then they go on about what they're going to do. This is in the Daily Beast. Shouldn't this be a headline in the New York Slimes and the Washington Compost? So Biden will do whatever he has to do to get power and to keep his power. If it means moving hard left, he'll move hard left. There will be nobody around him to say, hey, Joe, what happened to,
what happened to the monitor, Joe? What happened?
So be nobody there to tell him that. He'll do whatever he's told. And that's serious, and that's the truth. And he'll continue to decline mentally. All he'll have to do is take out his pen and sign the legislation that's put on his desk. That's all he has to do. As long as he can sign his name, as long as he can sign his initials.
Sign this, Joe. All right, what is it? Don't worry about it. Okay, thank you. Whatever.
Pretty scary. Extraordinarily radical. And yet Biden knows what he wants to do. In my view, he's now part of the hard left. Here he is again in Tampa yesterday. Cut four, Mr. Producer. Go.
5 days left. 5 days. But who's counting, right? But who's counting? And I believe when you use your power, the power of the vote, we literally are going to change the course of this country for generations to come. We're going to do it both at home and abroad.
There you go. He's thrown in. He's ready. Reminds me of Obama in 2008. Cut five, go.
We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
This is with their the 5 days. Biden, we literally are going to change the course of this country for generations to come. Obama, we're 5 days away from fundamentally transforming America. I don't want them to fundamentally transform America. They don't actually have the constitutional authority to do that. But that's what they plan to do. Bernie Sanders, last night, they all talk the same way because they all mean the same damn thing. On the Late Show last night, cut six, go.
And we have really strong support. People feel deeply about the issues that I and other progressives have raised.
You're not a progressive, a-hole. You're a Marxist. Go ahead.
Conscious of that. He understands that we have supporters who desperately are demanding that we pass a Medicare for All single-payer program, that we deal with climate change, that we deal with the systemic racism and a terrible immigration system, that our people feel passionately about the need to transform America and create a government that works for all. He understands that.
So Bernie Sanders wants to transform America. Biden wants to transform America. Obama talked about transforming America. What they really mean is to take these Marxist policies and goals and whitewash them as some kind of an innocent, dumbed-down kind of thing where Americans will accept it. These are very devious people who intend to do very dangerous things. If you're a blue-collar worker out there, you're targeted. They can talk about the rich and transformation all they want. They don't give a crap about you. If you're on the audio assembly line, you trust me on this. They don't give a damn about you. They just want their votes, and then they're off to the races. They intend to bring in more and more and more illegal immigrants. So you blue-collar workers and unions and non-unions, you'll be less of a necessity to the Democrat Party. Use you and then reject you. This whole climate change and Green New Deal stuff is aimed at blue-collar workers in this country. Truckers, drivers of other sorts, men and women who work on assembly lines, men and women who work in coal mines, oil fields, steel mills. It's your jobs they're going to destroy. And then they blithely say, but don't worry, we'll retrain you. Like you're some kind of a group of in a communist regime. Don't worry, we'll retrain you. To do what? We'll decide what you're going to do in West Virginia, in Western Pennsylvania, in Ohio and Kentucky, in Michigan. Oh, yeah, yeah. We're going to decide. We're going to retrain you. Retrain you? To do what? Oh, to make battery-operated socks? Oh, we got all kinds of ideas. AOC, she'll be in charge of the automobile sector. Bernie Sanders will be in charge of the communications sector. Elizabeth Warren will be in charge of the labor sector. Just like good little communists. They will destroy the auto industry and everything that goes with it. The metal, the plastic, the rubber, everybody who's involved in this. You know, people in big cities and the suburbs, they don't understand how cars are made, what goes into making a car. They just want to be able to go to a dealer and say, no, I'll pay you $400 less and buy it right off the lot. People don't understand how food gets to their table. Electricity, natural gas, oil, coal. This is all being targeted. The people who produce it, the people who transport it, the end users, most of you. Your energy bills are going to go through the roof. They're going to create a national security issue here when we unilaterally destroy our own energy industry. And the Chinese are going to get on the move. The Russians will be empowered with their oil. A complete and utter domestic and foreign policy disaster. It is suicidal for this nation what they're proposing. Suicidal. Open borders, illegal aliens get health care. They will destroy all health care. Insurance will not matter anymore. And what are they going to do once the system collapses? Cloward and Piven, they'll remake it. And so you're going to wait in lines. Maybe not physically in lines, but you'll get on the phone and you'll say, I need an appointment for my wife. I need an appointment for my kid, for my son. I need an appointment. Do you have a referral? I can get a referral. Okay, good. And who would you like to see? I need to see a heart specialist. I'm sorry. You're going to have to wait 17 weeks. This is what happened in Canada. Oh, Canada. I can't wait 17 weeks. My wife, she's having palpitations. She's getting... Listen, that's the way it is. Everybody gets health care. I know, but they need... Hey, don't complain. You have health care, don't you? Yes, but she needs... Who do you think you are? You're trying to get in the front of the line? You can hear these bureaucrats on the phone right now. You're trying to get in the front of the line? We had a lot of people waiting. You're starting to see it already because of Obamacare. You're starting to see it already, aren't you? I need to see the... Okay, we'll see you in 3.5 weeks. It used to be, okay, I'll see you in 3 days. Not anymore. Not anymore. The government doesn't run anything well. What the hell does it run well? Can't run the damn cities. Can't run the damn states. They're in the hole trillions and trillions of dollars. They undermine the cops. They're destroying their pension systems. Hey, I have an idea. Let's give them health care. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Not only that, I have a better idea. What?
Let the whole damn world come in here and get it for free. Hey, that's a good idea. Who came up with that one? AOC? Oh, well, she's the future. She's fabulous. She's a genius. She not only knows how to pour drinks, she knows how to run the country. Oh, my God. We've never seen anything like this before. And there's Joe Biden. Honest to God, America. The guy can barely walk 10 feet. He can barely put six damn sentences together. He's walking around with sunglasses on now. He's lied to you for 47 damn years. Now he says, oh, listen, if you want to keep your doctor, you can keep your doctor. No, you can't. We're not suckers. We're Americans. Why are we encouraging people from other parts of the world to come into this country and have our health care system? You want to answer that? I'll tell you why. Because this is a war on the American citizen. Democrat, Republican, union, non-union, wealthy, poor. They want to transform the country, damn it. How many more times do they have to say it? Fundamental transformation. Well, screw them. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Hillsdale College serves four purposes: learning, character, faith, and freedom. Education and faith thrive in freedom, and freedom requires educated people and people of good character to preserve it. Hillsdale College has been providing the education needed to preserve free government for over 175 years, not only to its 1,500 undergraduate and graduate students, but nationwide through its free online courses and through its support of classical K-12 charter schools. Hillsdale's Articles of Association, dating way back to 1844, commit to preserving the blessings of civil and religious liberty through the provision of sound learning. The learning includes the Constitution. It includes the laws of nature and nature's God as described in the Declaration of Independence. Hillsdale's motto is pursuing truth and defending liberty since 1844, and it will continue to fight to live up to that motto, come what may. Learn more at levinforhillsdale.com. L-E-V-I-N for Hillsdale.com. LevinForHillsdale.com.
Let me try it this way. Some of us are old enough to remember, but let me convey the image. When Ronald Reagan was president, the dictators over there, the communist dictators of the Soviet Union, they kept dying off. They kept putting old ones in one after another, one after another. It was almost laughable. Now, putting aside this dying off issue, imagine sitting in Xi's office, or Putin's office, or the Islamo-Nazi's office that runs Iran or any of these offices. And you're looking at the United States. You're looking at Donald Trump, who is vigorous, who has your respect, whether you like it or not. He's built up the United States military. He's put a number of these countries in the box where they belong. And then they look at Joe Biden, who they see as a very feeble man. He just doesn't have it together. He kind of shuffles across the field or the stage as he goes to his microphone. He talks about shutting down the country. He talks about shutting down fracking and fossil fuels. He talks about opening his borders to hordes of human beings who will come in and get their health care. He talks about massive increases in taxes and regulations that will kill the heart and soul of our industries. You got to be laughing. You have to be laughing. How the hell do you vote for a guy like that, to be perfectly honest with you? The people who vote for Biden are picking somebody who is, number one, incapable of doing the job. But putting that aside, whose policies will weaken America from within and strengthen our enemies from without. I mean, it is shocking. He's going to put up the 5 million people out of work, according to a study out of Stanford. We're going to lose $2.3 trillion in GDP. But the government will get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. I'll be right back.
From the Westwood One Podcast Network.
He's here.
Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Hello, America. Mark Levin. Our number is 877-381-3811. 877-381-3811. Kamala Harris. Can you imagine her as mayor or DA of one of these cities that are out of control? She is a radical. And I want you to listen to this, because you see what's going on in Philadelphia, my home city, and what, in my view, is absolutely legitimate use of lethal force. I want you to listen to her. Cut 10, go.
Joe and I are saying we need a national standard for use of force. Why? Because when there is an excessive use of force, the system asks this question usually: was the use of force reasonable?
All right, stop. We need a national standard for the use of force. In the system, was the use of force reasonable? That's the test in every jurisdiction in America. That's the legal test. Go ahead.
You and I know you can reason away just about anything.
Now, what does that mean? It's not individuals reasoning away anything. You have prosecutors, you have grand juries, you have witnesses, you have to take in evidence. There's all kinds of stuff that goes on. It's not somebody reasoning away anything. Go ahead.
Fair and just question to ask is, was the use of force necessary?
Now, that's a different word, and she's picking up where the nitwit in California picked up. Not was it reasonable, was it necessary? So that is a standard in which every cop in America virtually will be prosecuted. When you're making a split-second decision, the question is whether it's reasonable. Reasonable care, the reasonable mind, the reasonable man. This goes way back to a fair justice system. Not was it necessary? Your mind doesn't work that fast. Was it necessary to shoot that guy with a knife? Well, I don't know. I guess I could. Was it reasonable? He's rushing at you with a knife and you have to make a split-second decision. Well, of course. So this is word games that have real-world consequences. This shows you just how radical this woman is. She never supported that position when she was DA. She never supported that position when she's attorney general. But she supports it now. And they want to nationalize this position. Now, obviously, police officers are going to have now their entire careers on the line every time they make a decision. But you are going to suffer, those of you who aren't police officers, the tens of millions, hundreds of millions of us who are not. We are going to suffer. Because let's just be honest, the Democrat Party stands for the criminal. That's what I said and I mean it. The Democrat Party stands for the criminal. There are no criminals. So-called bail reform. In one door, out the back door. The cops, their hands are tied. And why? All the statistics show there's actually very few cop shootings in this country. It shows that they're not racially based, but it doesn't matter. We're dealing with a mob and a mob mentality now. So we're going to make it even weaker. We're going to take the example of Minnesota, Seattle, and Portland and nationalize it. But Biden seems so balanced. He wants to unite us. Go ahead.
These are the things we will do. But in addition, I believe that we have to reimagine public safety in America.
I found that word. You know, I'm writing another book. It's exhausting, but it's also exhilarating at times. That word, reimagining public safety, reimagining, comes out of the hardcore Marxist left. That's why you're here. Black Lives Matter use it. And now you're hearing a person who wants to be your vice president use exactly the same language. It's like when they talk about the courts, rebalancing the courts. They want to destroy public safety in America. The Democrat Party today stands with the criminal. It stands with the looters and the arsonists. It stands with the rioters. Not one of them has spoken out against all the violence that's being planned for Election Day or thereafter. And their mouthpieces in the New York Times, like Davey Alba and others, are silent about the left's plans for violence. silent. And yet it's all out there. It's all out there. The Democrat Party's counting on the mob and counting on the courts to steal this election and to threaten this country. This is the United States of America. Many of you have individuals in your families who are serving in the military or as in law enforcement. Many of you have had individuals in your family who've served in the military and in law enforcement. We're now talking about, like we're talking about getting a steak sandwich, about violence on Election Day or after Election Day if the Marxist Democrat Party left doesn't get its way. And they want to reimage public safety. And rather than the reasonable man, they want the necessary man. Nobody's ever heard of this. Go ahead.
If we want to achieve safety, it is outdated thinking to think the way you're going to do it is just put more cops on the street.
Oh, really? More cops on the street, fix it every damn time. I want you to listen to me. If you're working on automobiles, if you work on trains, if you work on airplanes, if you're a member of a union, if you work on assembly lines, you work in smokestack industry, I want you to listen very, very carefully to me. The way they're treating our cops is exactly the way they're going to treat you. They just view you all as middle-class rubes. That's how they view you. That's how they view you. She's a San Francisco leftist. Nancy Pelosi is a San Francisco leftist. Chuck Schumer is a New York City leftist. They don't care about anything in between. East Coast, West Coast. Bernie Sanders on The Late Show last night. Cut 11, go.
And that is, I think it is fair to say that in many ways, the Democratic Party has become a party of the coastal elites, folks who have a lot of money, upper middle class people, who are good people, who believe in social justice in many respects.
Okay, there you are. He wants to change all that, of course. And look how they're flooding the late shows at night, the Daily Show, the Late Show, because they're welcome there, because they're all crappy shows now. They're all left-wing shows. That said, I hope everybody in between the East Coast and the West Coast is listening very, very carefully. Because Bernie Sanders, believe it or not, nailed it. This is a coastal party. They see the populations in Washington, Baltimore, Wilmington, Philadelphia, New York, Boston. Massive numbers of people live in those metropolitan areas. Then they go to the West Coast. And what do they see? They see the populations in Los Angeles, in San Diego, now turning, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Sacramento, and more. Massive populations. Going up the West Coast. Portland, Seattle. These are the metropolitan areas, massive population. It's the tail that wags the dog. It's what the Democrat Party depends on. And they're trying to persuade everybody in between the far East Coast and the far West Coast that they stand for you. They don't stand for you. They don't even know what the hell you're doing. They don't even know how the hell you're doing it. And they don't care. This is why they talk about climate change and a Green New Deal. These are brainchilds that come out of left-wing think tanks imported from Europe, where people are sitting in skyscrapers or high-rises in San Francisco and Midtown Manhattan, rearranging the world. They've been to assembly line in their life. They've been to an oil patch in their life, and they have no intention. They've never sat in an 18-wheeler. They've never been in a cruiser with a cop. These are the elitists. These are the Marxists that run the Democrat Party that have their designs on you. And if you give them power this election, they're going to destroy our constitutional system and the limits that are placed on them. Face it, they've taken over the Democrat Party. They now run the Democrat Party. This has been their dream forever. I can quote for you. I read it last night. How Cloward and Pivens, two radical Marxist professors promoting violence, among other things, We need to take over the Democrat Party. It's the only vessel through which we can actually operate within the political system. And they've done it. And the Democrat Party's saying, we're going to take over the federal government, just like in California, where they've taken over the government. Once we're in, we're going to own the Supreme Court. We're going to own the Congress and the United States Senate. We're going to own the legislative process by getting rid of the filibuster rule. And we're going to get rid of the Electoral College by hook or by crook. So only the East Coast and the West Coast and the big cities in between will be represented in the federal government. All the rest of you will not. And I know there's a lot of Democrats listening to me tonight. You understand John F. Kennedy would not recognize this party. Harry Truman would not recognize this party. Former Senator Moynihan would not recognize this party. Former Senator Scoop Jackson would not recognize this party. This is as this is worse than George McGovern. It is way, way out there. And if you're voting for this party, you're voting for your own demise. Even worse, you have a responsibility to protect your children and grandchildren. You have a responsibility to protect generations yet born. This shouldn't even be a close election. Shouldn't even be close. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
I'm going to be really direct with you. If your cellular plan is with Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, you're simply paying way too much for the exact same coverage you would get right now with Pure Talk. So look at your cell phone bill where it shows data usage. The average person who switches to Pure Talk is using less than 4 gigs of data a month. But the big carriers are charging you for unlimited data. It's like paying for an entire row on an airplane, but only needing one seat. That's how Pure Talk saves the average person over $400 a year on their wireless service. Unlimited talk, text, and 2 gigs of data, all for just $20 a month. And if you go over on data usage, they don't charge you for it. So, folks, switching to Pure Talk is the easiest decision you'll make today. Go to puretalkusa.com and enter promo code LEVINPODCAST. When you do, you'll save 50% off your first month. That's puretalkusa.com, promo code LEVIN podcast. That's Levin podcast. Pure Talk USA, simply smarter wireless.
Joe Biden's in Iowa today. I want you to listen to this, America. Cut 7, go.
I think it's up to 30,000 people have died.
Okay, what is he talking about? 30,000 people have died. What is he talking about? He doesn't know what he's talking about, but that's all right. From the top, cut 7, go.
I think it's up to 30,000 people have died. America's dead because COVID-19, nearly 1,700.
So America's dead. Have Americans ever elected a man to the presidency who has said America is dead? Remember? We had a president who talked about a shining city on the hill. Have we ever elected somebody to the presidency who has said America is dead? You see, the mindset of Biden and his party is that America is a horrific place. It's racist, it's bigoted, it's homophobic. That everything that came before is no good. That our founding documents are no good. And so we need to leave it to the Democrat Party to take full control of the government. And that's what they're aiming to do. One party country, one party rule. Republicans will be in a minority. They can run around and squawk all they want. It won't matter. Red states won't be represented. Let me tell you something. Blue collar workers aren't going to be represented either. Not in this government. No way. All radical environmentalists, most of them really Marxists dressed up as environmentalists? Unbelievable. Then Biden had this to say today. Cut eight, go.
I'll lead an effective strategy to mobilize true international effort to pressure.
There you go. May I hear that again, please?
I'll lead an effective strategy to mobilize true international effort to pressure.
Can we add that to our mumbler collection, Mr. Producer? I have a hobby, you see, ladies and gentlemen. I collect the mumbling of leftist kooks and comedians. And do we have that entire cut, Mr. Producer?
What are they? Can it get a funding? The ghost track?
They have an eye.
It costs when if you they just gave you gave them
with the withdraw bringing U.S. home troops from home
and the
you need somebody.
Wait. So what? Finally.
Budget.
But resist, we much, we must, and we will much about that be committed.
I'm a warrior.
You know the that it was.
They said that.
Look,
lives are strong. Was it him?
Why? I didn't.
We can walk and chew gum.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by go. You know the thing. True and international effort to pressure.
There we go. There we go. Mind numb buffoons talking out of their you know whats. It's embarrassing. It's disgraceful what they're talking about this country. This country is dead. Joe Biden just said this country's dead. We've never elected anyone president of the United States. This country's dead. But they're getting nervous, ladies and gentlemen. Debbie Dingell, who was the wife of the former Congressman Dingell, who was the son of the congressman before that Dingell. This is a Dingell stronghold. A blue-collar area around the Detroit area. Here's what she said on CNN yesterday. Cut 13, go.
It's tightening here in Michigan. I am out there probably doing more than I should, but I'm always masked. And yesterday I had some of the auto workers who I thought were going to go back to Joe Biden were very clear with me last night. They were voting for President Trump. And I think what we're seeing now is that on the ground, people have to turn out their votes. As you noted, President Trump's coming back on Friday. My grapevine tells me he'll probably be back again before Election Day. President Obama and Joe Biden will be here. And it's coming down to who they're targeting and who's going to turn out. Absolutely. I think Democrats need to talk to the working men and women of the auto industry, those good, hardcore workers that have always been the backbone of our economy.
And what are the Democrats going to say to the auto workers? Other than we're going to destroy your jobs, we're going to kill the combustion engine, we're going to go back to those CAFE standards that make the production of cars impossible. What exactly are they going to say to the patriotic, hardworking auto workers in this country? What are they going to tell them? The reason they don't campaign among the auto workers is because they're going to destroy their livelihood. The reason they don't campaign among the steel workers and the miners and the men and women who work on oil is because they're going to destroy their livelihood. That's why. They need their votes. So they play rope-a-dope. They play stupid. They're targeting the middle class. That's exactly what they're doing. It's the only way they can get what they want. Then they're going to turn our Constitution inside out so they have control for 100 years. And they turn this grand country into California, which once was a grand state. Now look at it. I'll be right back. In today's digital age, where cyber threats loom larger than ever, safeguarding your personal information is paramount.
So why is Congress considering a law that could put your credit card data at greater risk of being hacked and exposed to foreign networks? This Durbin-Marshall credit card bill could jeopardize your financial data, make it more susceptible to cyber intrusions. It's a controversial bill that proposes a shift in billions of dollars worth of consumer transactions to payment networks that lack the robust security measures consumers rely on. Who could possibly want that? Well, the answer, woke corporate megastores seeking to inflate their multi-billion-dollar profit margins. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill will undermine our safe and convenient payment systems and endanger your data security. It's time to take a stand. Visit electronicpaymentscoalition.org. Make your voice heard. Tell your senators to oppose the radical Durbin-Marshall credit card bill, paid for by the Electronic Payments Coalition.
Doesn't suffer fools well. So, if you're a fool, don't call 877-381-3811.
You know what? These RCP, or Real Clear Politics average polling that they use, look what it shows. Completely bogus. Every lousy poll, they combine them with some that are good and say, look at the average. They're irrelevant. Now, Mark, you sound like a brokered record. Well, maybe I am. What have you done today, and what are you going to do this weekend to make sure you bring people to the polling place to vote? At a minimum, you're going to vote, right? But what are you going to do? You know, if you have in-person early voting, there's no reason to wait for Tuesday. Just go ahead and do it. And then maybe spend the rest of the days trying to get other people to vote. This is the weekend. Listen to me. This is the last weekend before the most important election since the Civil War election in 1860. These are the two most important elections in American history. As you're going to see when you watch Life, Liberty, and Levin, which is actually airing tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Eastern, not on Sunday. Tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern. If you can't watch it live, please DVR it. It's not about ratings with me. I have that show regardless of the ratings. There are many similarities between Trump and Lincoln. Many. Forget about the reporters. Forget about the Never Trumpers. Forget about the Lincoln Project. Forget it. There are many similarities, and you're going to learn about a lot of them on Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern on Life, Liberty, and Levin. You're going to learn about a lot of them. But the point is this. When they voted in 1864, they reelected Abraham Lincoln. When we vote in 2020, are we going to reelect Donald Trump? Or are we going to put an individual in the presidency who's one of the most hapless, unaccomplished, lifelong political hacks in American history, who hung on as a senator for 39 years. For 39 years, and he has nothing to show for it. Nothing positive to show for it. Nothing. Not for any of the identified communities and not for the nation as a whole. Nothing. But he makes more promises. What are you going to do? Let's ask Stephen in Blairsville, Georgia, XM Satellite. Stephen, what have you done to serve your country in terms of this election?
I took your advice, Mark, but even before you gave it, back in 2018, when we had the governor race, I convinced two former coworkers of mine that governor race was too close and they didn't vote in 2016. So I told them, I'm like, you guys need to vote this time. And they agreed it's too important to not. And that was two coworkers. Then another coworker of mine, who's actually a Hillary, who he voted for Hillary in 2016. But then he told me one day that he's tired of seeing this country go to hell and he switched for Trump. And a lot of it had to do with things that I would tell him or debate with him about.
What about this election?
I'm sorry?
What about this election?
Oh, he's voting for Trump in 2020 because of that. He voted
well, it
for
says
Hillary.
Here, maybe you mislead. It says you got six people to vote who didn't vote in 2016. Is that correct?
Correct. Or didn't vote for Trump. I should have worded that better. I'm sorry.
But are voting for Trump this time?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's terrific.
And by the way, I apologize. I'm actually recovering from COVID myself, so my
oh, my goodness.
So I apologize if you can't understand.
How do you feel?
My sense of taste is still not there, but I don't have a fever anymore. And I also arranged with the precinct where I vote to make it safe for me to go vote there, and I let them know about it, and they're going to make sure that I'm able to go vote on voting day, so I arranged that with them.
Outstanding. All right, we hope you feel better, Stephen, and great job, and God bless you, my friend. That young man, I think he said got five people who didn't vote for Trump six to vote for Trump. That's what you need to do. Is there a red wave out there, a red army? I think there's a red army out there. The question is whether that red army is going to show up. Let me put it to you this way, in stark terms. You see what's happening in these cities. And we shake our heads and we do more than that. We grind our teeth when we hear that some damn mayor has told the cops to stand down. And you think to yourself, no, it's the opposite. The cops should impose law and order, defend themselves, and take on the mob. Well, what about you and me? We're not even facing violence. There's no mob threatening us. And nobody told us to stand down. You are free. You're in America. You are absolutely free to join the rest of us in saving the Republic or standing on the sidelines and watching as the Republic goes down the drain. Now, you're going to say, I voted. So did I. But we need more help. We need more help. There's a lot of corruption going on with the Democrats. Project Veritas has showed us what's going on in Texas. Multiply that times a million, as far as I know. This mail-in voting is susceptible to all this corruption. You see, John Roberts apparently supports corruption when it comes to the vote. And so does Kavanaugh. Kavanaugh threw in 5-3. And in North Carolina, it's unbelievable. Unelected bureaucrats decided to extend to 9 days the counting of ballots. So no elected branch in North Carolina even said. They decided to abuse their power and extend it 9 days. And the Supreme Court said, we're not going to look at that, with the three originalists furious. Pennsylvania, the state Supreme Court steps in. They have no authority. The signatures don't have to match. Don't worry about the postage date. And we'll count for 14 days after the election. These are battleground states. Now, you know how we, the people, fix this? We turn out in such numbers that it almost doesn't matter. I don't like this term Red Army. It's what the communists call their armies. We're the patriots coming to save our country. We get to speak when it comes to the presidency every 4 years. How many of you have called me and said, why is this? Why is that? Folks, the future's in your hands. We need your help. I'm asking you to step outside your box, outside your comfort area. I get this. I know it's not fun, but let's do it. You know, it is fun watching election night and Donald Trump wins by even a small landslide. That would be fun. You can do this. There are millions and millions of you listening to this program. You're listening to me on AM and FM radio, terrestrial radio, we call it. You're listening to me as it's being streamed all over the world. You're listening to me on the Mark Levin app or the iHeart app. You're listening to me on satellite radio. You're listening to me on my podcast. Millions and millions of you, so many of you, we don't really know the real number. We have this guy with a magazine, Talkers Magazine. Oh, you're number four. He has no idea. Ask him. He's a good guy. He's no idea. None. We have millions and millions of people listening. If you'll get 3, 4, 5, preferably 10 people whom you've never gotten before to vote, you are the soldiers of liberty. And you can proudly talk to your children and grandchildren and tell them what you did, or, depending on your age, your parents and your grandparents. The president just announced we're not far, we're weeks away from having a virus. And the priority in terms of giving out the vaccine, and the priority in terms of giving out the vaccine is obviously the first line folks, the doctors and so forth, and then the seniors, because of the way this virus affects seniors. And he said it's going to be absolutely free. So the president of the United States has made it clear the first in line, apart from the first responders, are senior citizens. And that's the way it should be, since they're the most vulnerable. Folks, we wouldn't even have a vaccine to give to anybody but for this president. It's so true. Joe Biden had a dry run in 2009 with the swine flu. He failed at every level. And by the way, so did Anthony Fauci. They failed at every single level. Because you have this outsider, this businessman who hasn't spent 47 years in government, but has spent his entire life in the private sector, he knew. Operation Warp Speed. I'm going to get all the red tape out of the way. Not the safety precautions, the red tape. Because the bureaucracy is the bureaucracy. We're going to go ahead and buy the vaccines in advance, just in case they work, so we have 100 million on hand. From 7 different companies, we're going to spend almost $1 billion, which is exactly what they've done, billions of dollars. Next, it has to be manufactured. So they let the contracts in advance. They entered into the contracts in advance. So the vaccine and the vials and the syringes, they're all being made as I speak. Next, they let the contracts for distribution. For distribution, how are we going to get it where it needs to go? How are those decisions going to be made? The decisions have been made. But now we're going to have the physical ability to deliver. So the manufacture, first of all, the development of the vaccines, the manufacturing of the vaccines, and the distribution of the vaccines, they're all in place. They're all in place. And they've been in place since August. And Joe Biden has a plan. Nobody knows what the hell his plan is. It's all doublespeak. It's all platitudes. He has no plan. It's amazing what's been accomplished. And here we have maps showing, well, the virus is spreading. You can see what the media is doing. You can see how the media are trying to get all of you to get angry and upset, as if you vote for Biden and the virus goes away. It doesn't work that way. But there's even a New York Times story. And it's very haunting in the way that it writes this. But the headline is, virus hospitalizations are up in New York City, but this time it's different. What's different? People are going in and they're getting out faster. And the vast majority of them are living. Because of all the techniques, technologies, tools, and medicines that have been developed, therapeutics, during the course of this virus. And you know what else they say? They have the experts, quote unquote, the doctors there. And you know what they're saying? We will never have another round of death like we had in the first round of the virus. It won't happen. Now, that doesn't sound like they agree with Fauci, does it? Biden wants you to believe we're going to have a dark winter. Fauci wants you to believe we're stuck with this at the current levels with death and so forth for years to come. They want you to believe that if only we had shut down the economy more people went broke. More people lost everything. More other cases of morbidities spreading throughout our system. If we only had destroyed our economy once and before and all, and everybody walking around with their masks, Then we would have killed the virus. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not science. That's insanity. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
I'm going to be really direct with you. If your cellular plan is with Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, you're simply paying way too much for the exact same coverage you would get right now with Pure Talk. So look at your cell phone bill where it shows data usage. The average person who switches to Pure Talk is using less than 4 gigs of data a month. But the big carriers are charging you for unlimited data. It's like paying for an entire row on an airplane, but only needing one seat. That's how Pure Talk saves the average person over $400 a year on their wireless service. Unlimited talk, text, and 2 gigs of data, all for just $20 a month. And if you go over on data usage, they don't charge you for it. So, folks, switching to Pure Talk is the easiest decision you'll make today. Go to puretalkusa.com and enter promo code LEVINPODCAST. When you do, you'll save 50% off your first month. That's puretalkusa.com, promo code LEVIN podcast. That's Levin podcast. Pure Talk USA. Simply smarter wireless.
So election headquarters here, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be already election night. Nobody does a program on election night as well as we do here. Those of you who've been Levinites a long time, you know. We call them, we watch them, and we give you our honest insight into what exactly is happening. We have all kinds of sources, too. And I want to remind you, tomorrow night is Life, Liberty, and Levin on Fox, not Sunday night. There's no Life, Liberty, and Levin Sunday night. They're bringing in the usual Monday group. But we will be airing at 7 p.m. Eastern time. If you can't watch it live, please do watch it, DVR it. It's a very, very important show. I have no guests. I'm going to be talking to you for the full hour with obviously the commercial breaks. A lot of you find that even more appealing. Well, that's what we're going to do.
1 minute to Kelly in Pemberton, New Jersey, Sirius Satellite. Go.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
Good. 1 minute. Go.
And an honor.
Thank you.
I just wanted to tell you that I was watching Biden today and I was listening to him and I couldn't believe the lies that came out of his mouth and everything he said about what the president has done regarding COVID. He was completely wrong. And I honestly almost cried, not because I just couldn't believe.
Here's the thing, Kelly. Biden wants to run against somebody who's not the president. So they create a racist. They create an incompetent when it comes to the virus. They create what they want to create. They're running against their own concoction, their own fiction, their own mannequin. They're not running against this president of the United States. They can't. Because on substance, he would whip them. We'll be right back.
From the Westwood One Podcast Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, this final hour of the podcast is sponsored exclusively by AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens. Now over 2 million conservative members strong, AMAC believes in and stands up for the values that we care about, faith, family, and freedom. Thank you for listening, and please support AMAC. And you can become a member at amac.us/join.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Hello, America. I'm Mark Levin. Our number, 877-381-3811, 877-381-3811. We're heading into the last weekend before the most important election of our lives. I'd say the second most important election in American history after 1860. But then again, maybe it's more important than 1860. We want to get a feel for what's going on in the House of Representatives by the Republican leader, Kevin McCarthy. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. How are you, Mark?
Doing very well. We're trying to get the troops out. We've had a lot of your candidates on this program the last few months. What's your sense of this?
I'll tell you what, it's coming down to these next 4 days. I think it's just two states. I think it's Pennsylvania and Arizona. I think the president has Texas. He has Florida. I just came back from Florida. I've been to 33 cities this month. I've been traveling with the president in Arizona and Florida and everywhere else. I think he has North Carolina. I think he has Georgia. I think he has Iowa. If he gets Pennsylvania.
Now come on now. We want to get the votes out.
We got to get everybody out. We got to make sure.
If the people don't vote the next 4 days, they're going to win all those states.
I'm going to tell you, because what the Democrats are doing, they're packing them in an absentee. So we need everybody voting. I don't care how long the lines are. You stay there. You vote. This thing is breaking the president's way. Listen, there's no greater contrast. Donald Trump gave up his business to be president. Joe Biden wants to be president to help his family business. This guy, you watch him. What will he do for the next 4 years? He's beyond a crook, and he doesn't even know who he's running against or what he's running for or whether he's the running mate to Kamala Harris or not. There is no bigger time why you have to vote. We've got more candidates, a better recruiting class than I've ever seen. When you look at the number of conservative women we have, 2 years ago, we only had 44 pass the primary. We got 94. You look at Wesley Hunt. Wesley Hunt and John James were roommates at West Point. They both served our country. Wesley's running down in Houston. John James could be a senator in Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Now tell me this, your sense for what's going on here. You feel like the president's on the ascendancy. So do I, as long as we get the army of patriots out there voting for the next 4 days, right?
Exactly. And it's not just the presidency. I've got 27 seats that hang in the balance. That I will tell you, I got 27 seats for Congress that are in the margin of error, meaning they're either +2 or -2 if it's a 4% difference. So whether we have a good night or not, whether we have a good night or not, is a determinant of whether people go out and vote. I know a lot of Republicans are holding on the last day, but I was just in Miami last night. Carlos Jimenez, the mayor of Miami-Dade, this is Miami to Key West. He's up right now. We've got more people turning out there. I was just with the president in Arizona the day before. That was the most diverse crowd I've ever seen. You could have seen the number of Latinos standing behind the president chanting, and they're chanting, "We love you."
Mm-hmm. Well, in 47 years, Kevin McCarthy, I can't think of anything Joe Biden's done for anyone. I mean, I look at the African-American community, the Hispanic community, women. Honest to God, in 47 years, you ought to have at least 5-10 things you've done. There's nothing, and he's never even said anything profound.
He's not. And if you need any other reason, just look at yesterday, 33.1% GDP. You know what? That is not great numbers. That is the greatest number ever in the history of America, and that was Donald Trump. He's promised 10 million new jobs. What do you get with Joe Biden? This guy, and this is the part that gets me the most. If you are running for the leader of the free world, you ought to believe America is exceptional. Instead of thinking the worst part, he reminds me of Jimmy Carter that the best days are behind us. He's dreary. He's down.
Wait, did you hear what
America
he said?
Not great.
He said America is dead today.
Yes. How can someone lead this nation? You know, this nation is too great for an idea so small. I mean, you and I both know America is more than a country. America's an idea. An idea that not only inspires our country, but everybody else around the world. Why did those 31 years ago a million kids go to Tiananmen Square? Because they believed in the freedom of speech. Why did they bring the sledgehammers to the Berlin Wall to make two Germanys one? Because they understood what America meant. Why did they just a year ago in Hong Kong go inside and put up their umbrellas and stand in the rain and bring an American flag? Because they knew America was not dead. They knew America's more than a country. And that's exactly what President Trump, not only does he believe it, he shows it every day.
This is Kevin McCarthy, the Republican leader in the House. Kevin McCarthy, who do you think the communist Chinese are rooting for?
Do I think? I know. Remember what the FBI said. Communist China is not only rooting, they're engaging and trying to make sure Joe Biden wins.
Mm-hmm.
They've invested a great deal amount of money in the Biden family.
Yes, apparently.
Brother and everybody else. You wouldn't know it if you read Twitter. You wouldn't know it if you watched NBC, CBS, or ABC.
Yeah, no, it's appalling. And hopefully after the election, you know, it would be an amazing thing. If we could take the House, hold the Senate, win the presidency, we would shock the whole world, wouldn't we?
We would. And you know what, though? We did it 4 years ago when you look at the numbers and those polling numbers of where Hillary was and where Joe Biden was, I don't care if they say he's ahead. That does not matter. The determination is whether we go out and vote. So it's not only would you make sure you have somebody leading this country that believes in this country, believes is exceptional, proven that they can build an economy. He doesn't have to. He's done more in 4 years than Joe Biden ever did in 47. And what did Joe Biden accomplish? He put more African Americans in prison and did nothing about it. When we wanted to go after Osama bin Laden, he thought it was wrong. Every decision this man has made on a foreign policy, if you talk to the experts, has said it's been wrong. And now you're going to give him a job of being the freedom, being the leader of the free world. You don't even know if he can maintain the job. Look at what is going on with China. And why would we want somebody in that position that we'd have another country that would know his secrets and he's never talked to the American public about it?
I'm going to give you 2 minutes to make your final appeal to millions and millions of people the Friday before the Tuesday election, what they should do and why they should do it. Go ahead.
What we need you to do is vote. And don't go by yourself. Bring somebody else. If you believe this country is exceptional, if you believe it was created on the idea that all are created equal, that this is the moment in time to go, we have a commitment to America that we will defeat this virus. We will have safe and secure vaccines, and we'll have the therapies. We believe that we'll have your streets safe and secure, not because we'll defund the police, but we'll add $1.75 billion for training, community policing, and 500,000 more body cameras. We know we can rebuild the economy because we're already starting it. 10 million new jobs in 1 year. And we will end the dependency on China. No longer will China control our supply chain. And we will rebuild our roads, our highways, our airports, and we'll make sure everybody has the internet. And we'll make sure kids go to excellent schools. Now, the contrast, the Democrats tell you they want to defund the police. They want to dismantle this nation by taking down and packing the courts where you don't have three co-equal branches. They want to destroy this nation by raising taxes on the very first day. We believe in you just because we believe in this country. We know tomorrow will be better than today. The whole reins falls on your hands. If you get up and you vote and you have your voice, we know the next century will be ours.
Well said. And it's also important what you said earlier, which is, folks, don't forget the congressional races. It's crucially important. We need to look. And I want to add this to what you said. Some of these races come down to 10 votes. We had a race here in Virginia for delegate that came down to a coin flip. So I remember some of these races come down to 10 votes, 6 votes. I remember that New Hampshire race years and years ago. These Senate races. I remember one from Nevada came down to 82 votes. So don't sit back and say, damn it, I wish I would. No, no. You need to vote. Your family needs to vote. And your friends need to vote. Everybody needs to get in on this.
The Democrats have the majority in Congress simply by 105,000 votes. And do you know there was 8.8 million people who voted for President Trump in 2016 who didn't vote in 2018? And had they voted, we'd still be in the majority.
Unbelievable. We just need to turn out.
We need a Congress that will work with their president. And you know what, Mark? If we are successful, I want you there that day. I want you to see that of all of us being sworn in. I want you to see us put our hands up and put our hands in the...
Wait, you're inviting me?
To uphold the Constitution. I'm inviting you.
Nobody ever invites me to anything.
I want to invite you because I want you to watch Nancy Pelosi hand me that gavel.
Oh, my God. Wouldn't that be something?
And you know what? I'll promise you, we will never let America become a socialist country.
Mm-hmm.
We will unshackle what holds us back. The freedom will ring. And we will have the next century, the American century, with no doubt.
Well said, Kevin McCarthy. And God bless and good luck to you, all the candidates, and to this country.
Thank you, my friend.
All right, you be well. Man, wouldn't that be something, Mr. Producer? Holy mackerel. We'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, is one of the fastest growing organizations in America, now over 2 million conservative members strong, and I'm one of them. AMAC believes in and stands up for the values that we constitutional conservatives care about. More than talk, AMAC fights. A full-time presence in Washington, AMAC pushes back against reckless spending, disasters like Medicare for All, and the expanding reach of the federal government. And beyond advocacy, joining AMAC gives you access to a wealth of benefits and discounts, including special member-only rates on car insurance, travel discounts, cell phone plans, and a hell of a lot more. And if that's not enough, you'll get AMAC's bi-monthly magazine, full of insightful articles on issues that matter to most of us, we conservatives. As I said, I'm an AMAC member, and you should be too. Join today at AMAC.us. That's AMAC.us. Stop supporting the liberal agenda that the other 50-plus organization has been pushing for. Join AMAC instead. AMAC.us.
I have so many geniuses who have my email address somehow who keep telling me how to do my show. It's an amazing thing. And if I did everything they said, you would hate this show. All right, let's take a few callers, shall I? I think I will. Richard, San Diego, California, on the Mark Levin app. How are you, sir?
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Okay.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm a huge fan. I've been listening to you for quite some time. And I just want to say, Mark, you know, I'm a Nicaraguan-born U.S. citizen, and it just, to be honest with you, it just breaks my heart to see this.
Because you've seen communism close and personal, haven't you?
Exactly. That's why we're here. That's why we had to leave.
Exactly.
And you know what? They took everything away from us. My parent had two clinics. He was a doctor. They took that away. We had a hotel down on the beach. They took that away. They used that as a post, as a commando post afterwards. Mm-hmm. So I know what it's like. I know how I just can't believe it. It breaks my heart to see that the American people are believing this socialist agenda and this ideology that we're all going to be equal. And it's a hoax.
We're all going to be unemployed. We're all going to be poor.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, you know what? We're here because this is the greatest country in the world. We're here because we're capable of being successful. This is the you know, we decide on which, what we want to do, which option we want to embark on, because this is the greatest country. And to change it and to believe that socialism and or this liberal agenda is going to make it happen, it's wrong, and it just saddens me to see this. I would
you
never
know, Richard, here's the thing. All these people who think they like this stuff, who's stopping them from going to Cuba and Nicaragua and Venezuela and China? Who's stopping them? Go ahead. Go join the paradise. Go ahead. Just
exactly.
Don't destroy our country.
Exactly. Why are you here if you don't like it? Why do you keep coming? You know, if it was so bad, why do we come here? You know, if it's so bad, it's a total lie. We, you know, this is capitalism. It's what makes us be who we are. It gives us the opportunity to succeed.
All I can say is thank God for immigrants like you. I'm serious.
Yeah.
If every immigrant was like you, I'd say open the damn border.
Yeah. You know what, Mark? My uncle, my dad's brother, he was born here. And he went to Vietnam, and he's a proud vet, and he's a proud American, and he loves America like we all do. And we should love America to what it is, not what we want it to be. We wanted to change it. For what?
No, instead we get people like Ilhan Omar. All right, Richard, thank you for your call. And I said the other day, and I'll say it again, we used to have a strict requirement among many that if you wanted to come to the United States, you had to demonstrate that you would be that you would have allegiance to the country, that you would assimilate into the culture. It doesn't mean you have to eliminate your ancestry and your background. Nobody does that, but you understand the point. You don't bring people into the country to undermine the country. I'm not saying liberals or conservatives who disagree with that's not what we're talking about, is it? People who want to fundamentally transform America. That's not what immigration's about. Immigration is about people coming and contributing to this country. It's not about the individual who's coming here. It's about the country. But, you know, I'm kind of nostalgic for the... I see Tucker Carlson's promoting the hell out of my slot on Sunday because he'll be using my slot because Fox is running the Monday shows on Sunday. But I will not be on at 8 p.m. on Sunday. I will be on at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturday. I wish I was on 8 p.m. Sunday, but they got the whole Monday roster running. And he wanted to make sure you know that, of course. Let us continue. Let's see. Hold on, I got to hit the refresh button here. Doing this in real time. Let's go to Aaron, Detroit, Michigan, on Sirius Satellite. How are you, Aaron?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Mark?
Very well. Thank you, sir.
I'd like to first let you know that you're a warrior for America, and we're glad that you're all out there doing what you do every night.
Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you. So I wanted to talk about minorities in this country and why you're going to see a big shift to Donald Trump in this election because of it. I myself am an American that's black, not mm-hmm. necessarily African-American because I'm not from Africa, mm-hmm. but I'm a black American. Right? I own my own business. Been around for a long time. My wife is a legal immigrant to this country. Mm-hmm. Right? And I have seen what Donald Trump's done for the minority community in 3.5 years that the Democrat Party has not done in 50 years.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And he's done more for these people than anyone that I've ever seen. And people are starting to realize it. People are realizing that Donald Trump's out there fighting for them. They're realizing all the things that he's out there trying to do for them, and they're starting to realize that the Democrat Party wants them to stay where they're at because they succeed as long as you need their help.
It's right? So true. So true. Help, yep.
They're going to continue not uplifting you. They're going to keep you right where you're at. They're going to keep you in poverty. They're going to keep you beholden to the government because without that, they don't have that power base. Right, and people are starting to recognize that. Right, the demographic of African Americans or Latino Americans, the younger demographic, they're not the people that have always voted Democrat just because they voted Democrat. These kids are starting to see why they shouldn't do that. Well, why should I have to vote for them just because I'm black or I'm an African American or I'm a Latino? That I just have to vote for these people because that's what they expect me to do. No,
Aaron, how old are you? How old are you?
I'm 51 years old.
Can you tell me anything Joe Biden has done for the African-American or the black communities?
He's done absolutely nothing. As a matter of fact, I would say that Joe Biden, out of a lot of politicians that I've seen over the years, Joe Biden's more of a racist than most of them I've ever seen. Some of the things that he said over the years are absolutely racist. Right. And yet the normal media, you know, the regular media, the mob, they just shrug it off like it's no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, for me, when I saw him say, you know, if you don't vote for me, then you ain't black. How openly racist is that
mm-hmm.
for you to say that I'm not black because I don't vote for you? Who are you to say that to me? You know, especially coming from, you know, a 70 some year old white guy that's been in power for 47 years and has done mm-hmm. nothing for me. Mm-hmm. But you're going to tell me that if I don't vote for you, I'm not black? It blows my mind that people want to say how Donald Trump's a racist and he's this and he's that, when the man's done nothing to try to uplift everyone in this country, and they turn around to these politicians and think that somehow it's okay for them to say this and say that.
Aaron, I got to go, but beautifully, beautifully said. I want to thank you for calling the program, and God bless you, my friend. My best to your family. We'll be right back.
AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, is one of the fastest growing organizations in America. Now over 2 million conservative members strong, and I'm one of them. AMAC believes in and stands up for the values that we constitutional conservatives care about. More than talk, AMAC fights. A full-time presence in Washington, AMAC pushes back against reckless spending, disasters like Medicare for All, and the expanding reach of the federal government. And beyond advocacy, joining AMAC gives you access to a wealth of benefits and discounts, including special member-only rates on car insurance, travel discounts, cell phone plans, and a hell of a lot more. And if that's not enough, you'll get AMAC's bi-monthly magazine, full of insightful articles on issues that matter to most of us, we conservatives. As I said, I'm an AMAC member, and you should be too. Join today at AMAC.us. That's AMAC.us. Stop supporting the liberal agenda that the other 50-plus organization has been pushing for. Join AMAC instead. AMAC.us.
The Mark Levin Show, live and national. at 877-381-3811.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're the first to hear about Zotique, the new deep correcting serum from my friends at Chamonix. There's just some fascinating things I want to get to, but you know what? I'm going to get to the cause. I got a piece here where now Joe Biden's running an ad basically comparing the president to Adolf Hitler. That's pretty damn sick. In fact, that's grotesque. So I won't even get into it. I'll just let you know that's going on out there. All right, let's see. Let's take a couple of calls here. Troy, Portland, Oregon, the great KUFO. Troy, how are you, sir?
I am fine, Mark. It is a pleasure to talk to you. So thank you both for what you do. I just called in to say it is so important that people really get out and vote and help keep the Senate, bring back the House, because we have to repeal Obamacare. I can tell you from personal experience, it bankrupts you. It took my son, who has chronic health care issues, and within months of being implemented, his copay for $30 a month for a medication he needs to keep him alive went to $1,500 a month.
And what does your son have, may I ask?
He has Crohn's disease.
Okay. And in my family, we are familiar with this. And what has he been taking for it?
It was an IV delivered drug.
It's an infusion.
Reclassified. Yep.
Yeah.
It was reclassified under Obamacare. Mm-hmm. And went from $30 a month to $1,500. And we had to fight like hell to get him onto another medication, taking a risk that his health would go down. Because I told them, I had to educate the doctors on what mm-hmm. medication cost. My wife takes on a full-time job of taking care of a kid. As we transition medications, people just don't understand this law in entirety needs to be gone.
It does. And we have a family member that has this disease, and it's a horrible disease. And people out there listening know exactly what we're talking about.
He was 10 years old, Mark. 10 years old, diagnosed with this.
Yeah, it's horrible.
We have fought and fought and fought. And it really, we were spending more money on his medication than on our rent payment.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable what that.
That's why we've been sold a bill of goods, and they're running around saying, "Oh, can you imagine if the Supreme Court throws this out?" I think you'd have half the country up and cheering, because then the private healthcare market could fill the void again, and it would be. Before Obamacare, you had an easier time, didn't you?
Yes. I will tell you honestly, Mark, I had mm-hmm. a doctor tell me that maybe I needed to quit my job so that I could qualify for subsidized health care.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was told, that I was supposed to stop.
Can you imagine if these bums in the government, these Democrats, controlled all of health care, where we would be?
I can imagine. And all the things that they already control that are a mess.
Mm-hmm. All right, my friend. How's your son doing?
Thank you. He's doing really well, Mark. It's been 10 years, and he's doing great. It's been a battle, but he's all right.
Well, give him my best.
I will. He's voting for this time.
Oh, he is. Well, good for him.
Yes, he is.
All right. Well, that's one. Very good.
That's right.
All right, Troy. God bless. Ulcerative colitis, Crohn's disease, these are very, very bad illnesses. A lot more people have them than you might know. And there are infusions for these now, depending on the individual, depending on which infusion they use. And the treatments have gotten much, much better, but they're very expensive. Let us go to Martha. You're in New Jersey. How are you, Martha?
Oh, I'm very good. Thank you.
Tenafly. I know where Tenafly is.
Well, Mr. Levine, it's such an honor to speak with you, and it's my first time calling.
Thank you.
And I'm 90 years old.
Oh, my Lord, you sound like you're 15.
I wish I was. No, I don't.
You sound great.
But you were commenting about Obamacare, and I have a very good memory, thank God. And I remember that what Obama did, he went into the Social Security Trust Fund, which should not have been mm-hmm. allowed, to help pay for the Obamacare. And I hope the seniors today that are listening to your program get out and vote for our fantastic president. And I'm also so proud of our first lady. I mean, Trump is the third greatest president that we've had in our country.
Mm-hmm.
And God bless him.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
You're 90 years old, and I'm hearing that among senior citizens, his support is soft because of the coronavirus. And I'm sitting here scratching my head thinking, so you think if you remove Trump and elect Biden that this virus is going to go away or something? I mean, I don't quite understand. This president has done everything humanly possible.
Yes. I mean, Obama left all his garbage in President Trump's lap. He had a lot to do to save our country.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, thank you very, very much.
And one thing I just wanted to say about Biden, he has no plan. He doesn't even know whether he's running for president or first lady.
Mm. Oh, jeez. Why? Would there be something wrong with that? No, I'm just kidding.
No, there's something wrong with Obama and his, Biden and his family. But, Marco Zane, what a pleasure to speak with you.
Well,
God,
Martha, pleasure's all mine, and take care of yourself. Tenafly, New Jersey. Very nice area. Know it well. That woman was 90 years old. Did she sound 90 to you, Mr. Producer? She sounds a lot sharper than I am, that's for sure. All right, let me see what's cooking here. We've getting great callers. Let's go to Will Gaithersburg, Maryland, the great WMAL. How are you?
Mr. Levin, it's an honor to talk to you. I am a lifetime listener. I'm a 22-year-old college student.
Wonderful.
And I think this election really comes down to, will we either uphold...
By the way, your governor voted for Ronald Reagan.
I know, and he...
What an idiot.
Again, yeah. Yeah.
What an idiot.
He's horrible. But honestly, this election is going to come down to, will we uphold the Constitution and American values, or we allow the liberals to destroy the legislative process, hijack the separation of powers, and quite frankly, demolish the greatest country this world's ever seen. I mean, you talk about this a lot. These Democrats, if given the power to do so, they will pack the courts, they will abolish the filibuster, they will add states to take over the Senate, essentially tipping the balance of power towards themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I truly believe that will literally usher this country into a post-constitutional era of left-wing, radical agenda, destroying this nation. I mean, this last...
Well, you're quite right. We're already almost there. And I want to thank you, Will. You're a young man. Are you going to help get other people to vote?
I already have, yes, sir.
Good for you, Will. I'm very proud of you.
The word out there. I've been a lifetime listener of yours.
Thank you, Will.
I mean, I've been listening to the media over the past years.
You know what? I have an idea now that you mention that. Turn off the TV this weekend, everybody. Just get out and vote. This is the last push this weekend. Will, thanks for your call, my friend. There's an excellent piece in Newsweek by M. Todd Henderson, a professor, University of Chicago Law School. And he says that this court-packing effort would be unconstitutional. Now, I may go through this in more detail on Monday, but here's what he says. In the past, when the number of justices on the court has been adjusted, going higher or lower, it's been for legitimate reasons. For instance, they went to 9 because they felt that the country had gotten so large and so many cases were coming, they needed additional justices. There were administrative reasons, there were constitutional reasons, there were statutory reasons. In other words, there were substantive, non-political reasons for expanding the size of the court. This would be the first time in American history that we added seats to the court for purely political reasons. And his argument is, look, that's not a legitimate use of power by the Congress to expand a court, the Supreme Court, purely for ideological and political reasons. That's why Franklin Roosevelt was stopped by his own party. So there's no constitutional basis, he says, for expanding the Supreme Court based on the interpretation of that clause in past cases where the court has been either increased or reduced so that one party could take advantage of another party or one party could expand and advance its political agenda. Now, this is very intriguing to me. I think it's a very intriguing point. And I want to discuss it with you more fully on Monday. I don't want to take away from the effort here, which is to save the Republic and get the vote out. But this is it's not just fascinating, it's a potentially significant argument that he's making. So I want to take a very close look at it with you on Monday. In the meantime, please do everything you possibly can to turn out the vote in your own little world, in your own little circle. And if we do that, multiply it by several million, we will be victorious in ways that you couldn't even dream of. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, is one of the fastest growing organizations in America, now over 2 million conservative members strong, and I'm one of them. AMAC believes in and stands up for the values that we constitutional conservatives care about. More than talk, AMAC fights. A full-time presence in Washington, AMAC pushes back against reckless spending, disasters like Medicare for All, and the expanding reach of the federal government. And beyond advocacy, joining AMAC gives you access to a wealth of benefits and discounts, including special member-only rates on car insurance, travel discounts, cell phone plans, and a hell of a lot more. And if that's not enough, you'll get AMAC's bi-monthly magazine, full of insightful articles on issues that matter to most of us, we conservatives. As I said, I'm an AMAC member, and you should be too. Join today at AMAC.us. That's AMAC.us. Stop supporting the liberal agenda that the other 50-plus organization has been pushing for. Join AMAC instead. AMAC.us.
Let us go. Jose, Houston, Texas, the great KTRH country. Jose, go right ahead, my friend.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you for taking my call, brother.
You got it.
I've been listening to you when I was 23, when I was fresh out of prison. And I thank you for your voice, sir. Thank you for your wisdom. And
God bless you, man.
And everything, sir. I'm a Latino, 30 years old, again. I'm married to an African-American woman. I'll tell you out front, I'm a vote for Trump. And you already know who my wife's going to vote for, because she's not going to vote for Trump. And I'm pretty sure you already know all the answers for what. I want to get straight to the point. About a month or 2 months ago, Joe Biden went on the Breakfast Club with Charlamagne the God. And he said something that sent shockwaves to the black community. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, because I grew up and I live in the hood. And I tell you, when he said, if you got a problem figuring out who you're going to vote for, me or Trump, then you ain't black. That sent shockwaves, and certain people didn't respond to that quite very well. As you know, rappers like 50 Cent, rappers mm-hmm. like Lil Wayne, rappers like Ice Cube have all jumped on the Trump train. And why? Because they're woke. They know that the Democrat Party doesn't have nothing to offer. And on another point, sir, real quickly, respectfully, Jack Dorsey, whoever the hell that is, he's some knucklehead and CEO on Twitter. You know, him and his cabal and all.
Listen, I got to go, Jose. Promise me, will you call again, please?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'll call again, sir. Yes, sir.
I love you, buddy. You're terrific. All right.
All right, folks, tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern time, please watch Life, Liberty, and Levin on Fox. Very, very, very important pre-election show, 7 p.m. Eastern. Life, Liberty, and Levin, Saturday night, tomorrow night. Folks, we salute our armed forces, police officers, firefighters, and emergency personnel. Good night, Spritey. Good night, Griffey. Good night, Pepsi. Good night, Smokey. Good night, Zelda. Good night, Gigi. Long list. Good night, Barney. Good night, Dad. Good night, Mom. And good night, Leo. Ladies and gentlemen, please vote. Get everybody out to vote who you know. I'll see you tomorrow night.
From the Westwood One Podcast Network.